The call to worship is from Isaiah, the 6th chapter. It's printed in the bulletin, and I would invite you to read it with me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory. Please stand with me for the opening hymn, hymn number 262. Let us pray. Bless us, O God, with a sense of your presence, that we may be at peace and may worship you with all our mind and spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue to prepare for the worship of God, I would invite you to pray with me the prayer of confession. God of grace, love, and communion, we confess that we have failed to love you with our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your commandments, stray from your way, and follow other gods. Have mercy on us. Forgive our sin and raise us to new life, that we may serve you faithfully and give honor to your holy name. With every confession of sin, there is assurance of pardon. Hear these words. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. Hymn number 275.
Foundation, ye saints of the Lord, ye his slaves. blessed, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. Through fiery trials thy pathway shall lead. All sufficient shall be thy supply. Fruit thee I only design, thy trust to consume, and thy call to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
Well, I welcome all of you to worship today. What a gathering. It's amazing to me to have in one room, one setting here, most of the people I hold dearest in my life. And I am so grateful that you're here on this day. I have several introductions. I tried to write down every word today because I knew this wouldn't be my finest hour. I want to introduce several people today. One is my husband is here with us today. I'm going to ask him to stand. And my sweet, sweet stepdaughter Elizabeth is here. And my very dear friends, Carol and Martha, are here from Canton in Cuba, Illinois. Please stand so people can know where I am in days to come. I'll be with them. And then cousins, I have Keith and Cindy and Kay and Craig and Debbie and Terry and Kim and Pat and Wayne. These are my cousins. These are really good people. And please stand. Yeah. Thank you. Kay's husband is in the field today. So as some of you probably would like to be. This next row, would you stand up? I have my brother, Fred, and Abby, who's here from Illinois State, and Charlie, Josh, my nephew, who's here with his identical twin daughters, Jolie and Lila, and my sister Bonnie, who retires next month. So I always want to be ahead of Bonnie. So thank you for coming. We have so many of you who are here today. I love you all. Thank you for sharing this this very significant day with each other and with me and my family. Also today with us is Leland Wright, who is our Committee on Ministry person. He comes to us from Clinton. And Ryan Landino, who is the lead presbyter of Transformation. I'm going to ask him if he would come now and say some words to you.
Hello, good people. Can you hear me okay? Everyone in the back, can you hear me? I'm seeing thumbs up. Hello, welcome, friends from Buffalo Heart, friends from out of town, welcome, it's so good to see you. The last time I was here in this space was about 6 months ago when I had the chance to preach and get to know you a little bit more. So I'm back here in this space to join you in this big, amazing moment as your church closes the chapter, one chapter of your sacred story, and begins to turn the page into another part of that story. So, 26 years, I understand. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I feel the love in this space, which is a testament to God's work through your pastor. So, I wanted to say first, please give yourself permission to feel whatever it is that you're feeling, whether it's sadness or nervousness or anxiety or grief or memory or thanksgiving, whatever it is, because today is a time where we are going to be remembering, we are going to be celebrating. At the end of this service, we're going to be having some closing formalities that'll be in the context of worship, that'll formally bring a close to Mary's pastoral leadership, and then later today, understanding we'll be coming back together for some more celebrations and gratitudes together. So, in that vein, can you please join me in taking a big, deep breath for me ahead of worship? Thank you. One of the Hebrew words for the Holy Spirit is breath. So the breath of God is with us here in this space. You may have questions about what happens next. I want to just assure you that we have been working with your session, and I understand the session has been having informational meetings with you. We've been trying to be as intentional as possible about the what next. It's very, very important to us as Presbyterians that there is a good fit between a pastor and a congregation, evidenced by some very successful ministry. So to do that, it makes sure that all of us are together, and to be together means we can't do that very quickly. So there is a process. It might take some time, but we're going to try to make sure that we do this as quickly and as well and thoroughly as possible. It's better to get a good pastor than to rush it. Trust me. Please trust me. Please know also that your next beloved pastor will have different gifts, will be a whole different person, maybe even have a slightly different approach, and I hope that you will be just as blessed by this next beloved pastor as you have been by Mary. And I also want to say also that we do have a separation policy, which means that this is the closing of your pastoral relationship after today with Pastor Mary. It means that weddings, funerals, baptisms, pastoral moments of prayer, if you do approach Mary, please do not be surprised if she very politely turns you down. This is consistent with our separation ethics. This is meant to give you a chance to build every beautiful moment of relationship with the new pastor, and to offer them the opportunity to know you and fall in love with you, just as Mary had the chance to fall in love with you here too. So just don't be surprised, but that is the way that we will be doing that. Yeah, I want to thank you on behalf of Great Rivers Presbytery for receiving Mary, not only as a pastor, but as a person, as a human being. And you've done some amazing ministry together. Mary, I want to thank you on behalf of Great Rivers Presbytery for the 26 years of faithful ministry here. And if you have any questions, I'm going to be sticking around for a little bit afterwards. Leland, of course, will continue to walk with you and your session. And, of course, feel free to bring any questions that you have to the session as well. Blessings, and I look forward to experiencing worship with you today.
Thank you. Another tradition at this time is to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. Are any of you celebrating a birthday or an anniversary this week? Well, I am. And it's our anniversary, right?
Yeah. I didn't bring my money.
I know, I'm faking it. So, thank you.
God bless you.
Yeah. 33 years that we've been married. So, our celebration is Friday. Be there. Yeah. There are several announcements. There's a progressive dinner here in this congregation on this Saturday evening, beginning at 5 o'clock. People have signed up to host, and now the issue is to get people signed up to go from house to house. The sign-up sheet is on the back bulletin board. You need to be together. Please sign up this week for the progressive dinner. I do want to mention, several of you have asked about through the New Testament reading plan that I mentioned in worship a couple of Sundays ago. I made multiple copies of this, and they're on the back tables. You can read the New Testament through in a year by reading one chapter a day, 5 days a week. And I've really been blessed by this system, and encourage you to pick up a copy of that guide. You see the other announcements here before you. Are there other announcements that should be mentioned at this time? I'll ask the children to come for the morning story. Everybody got a place to sit? Okay. Jolie, you want to go over there? Okay, great. Well, wow, it's great to see all of you. We've got Elliot, we've got Hayden and Aiden and Ava. We've got Jolie, Nick, Ellen, Joey, Ryan, Sebastian, and Lila, and Duke, and Dax, and Dylan. Well, it's great to see all of you. There's a story in the Bible that I dearly love, and it took place on Easter. It's in John's Gospel, and it's a story of a woman who went to the tomb, and she found it empty, and she was just devastated because she thought somebody had stolen Jesus' body, but that wasn't what happened at all. Instead, Jesus had been raised from the dead. And what she didn't know was that Jesus was standing behind her. She thought maybe it was the gardener that was behind her. But she knew that it was Jesus when he said her name. Do you know what her name was?
Mary.
Yes, it was Mary. And I sometimes wonder, I don't know if I love that story because it's such a great story, or if it's because Mary is my name. Yeah, because Mary is my name. Do you know why I make such a big to-do about saying your names every week? Why? So that I know your names. That's the primary reason. What else? Uh-huh.
So Jesus knows your name.
So Jesus knows your name. That's a good idea. What else?
And also so people, we know what each other's names.
Exactly. Exactly. I want all of you to know each other's names. And I want these people out here to be able to look at you and know that you're Nick, and you're Ellen, and you're Joey, and you're Ryan, and you're Sebastian, and you're Elliot, and you're Hayden, and you're Aiden, and you're Ava, and you're Jolie, and you're Lila, and if you change dresses, I'm lost. Yeah, I won't be able to do that anymore. Yeah. Oh, bless your heart. I am sad too, honey. Yeah. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you know our names. Help us to get better acquainted with each other and call each other by name. We thank you for these children. We thank you for their parents and for the love that that we can have for you. We're grateful that you love us. Amen. Thank you.
Mary, uh-huh. I would say a group hug.
Well, that's really sweet. God bless you. Okay. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, so much for perfect scripts, huh? Yeah. It's from Acts 20 that we hear these words. The writer said, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." I would invite the ushers if they would come this morning for the offering. Stand.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Amen. You may be seated, and there's Sunday school now for the children. The scripture for this morning comes from the last chapter of Matthew's gospel, the last few verses of that gospel. These take place after the resurrection when Jesus' disciples gather as he told them to in Galilee. Hear these words. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." In the scripture that's printed in the bulletin, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Let us pray. We pray, O Lord, that these words from your scripture might come alive for us this day. In thy name we pray. Amen. I made a decision years ago that I would not ask myself the question, "What do you need to hear in a sermon?" I have found that question to be futile. First, I cannot read your minds or hearts. I do not know what you need to hear. And secondly, just when I'd write what I think to be that perfect sermon for one or more of you, that would just be the day you would be absent. And I've done that. So I have mostly preached from the assigned lectionary passages. I have lived with one passage a week and written a sermon and let the chips fall where they may, which means, I think, let the Holy Spirit do its work. But not so today, for on this occasion, my last opportunity to share with you from these sacred pages, I have felt drawn to the Great Commission that the resurrected Jesus gave to his disciples right after Easter. The last five verses of Matthew's gospel, for they address what you need to do as a congregation. You need to preach. You need to teach. You need to baptize. You need to obey. And you need to remember that Christ is with you always. But it's also what I need to do as I leave. Your task here and my task somewhere else is the same. For we are modern-day disciples of Jesus Christ, and we have been given the Great Commission. So I've studied this passage for days. Here's how it starts. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When he saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I didn't get much further than that. My husband and I live on the corner of 7th and Enterprise in Springfield. We've lived on that corner for 30 years. But as of last week, there is something new on that corner, or actually one corner away from us, one corner west of us, something new on the corner of 6th and Enterprise, a stop sign. I'm warning you, it's not been there ever, but it's there now. I did not know that the city was going to put a stop sign there. So I have no idea how many times I have blown through that sign before one day last week I saw it and I came to a screeching halt. Stop! I have preached the Great Commission many times over the years. But this time, I kept getting through these first two verses, and I would come to a screeching halt. When I would get to the words, "but some doubted." And I asked myself, when did that get put in there? Well, the answer is about 2,000 years ago, but I don't remember ever noticing it before. I just concentrated on the preach and teach and obey part. We're talking about Jesus' disciples here. They were gathered with the resurrected Christ in Galilee. These men, by the way, had been missing in action since Jesus' arrest on Thursday evening. But the women had been to the tomb on Sunday morning, and they found that the tomb was empty. And there at the tomb, The women encountered an angel who said to them, "He is not here, for he has been raised from the dead." Well, actually, the angel said something else first. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." I knew you knew that. Do not be afraid. That's what angels always say. I want to read just a little bit of that resurrection account. You can't read the resurrection story often enough. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Isn't that interesting? What a conflict. Fear and joy. And ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Even Jesus says that. "Do not be afraid. And tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So today's passage, the Great Commission, picks up with that story. The women had taken hold of Jesus' feet and worshiped him that Easter morning, but shortly thereafter, Jesus encounters his disciples, and they too worship him. But some doubted. Can you worship and doubt? Can you doubt and still be commissioned to preach and teach and baptize and obey? If you doubt, do Jesus' words, "I am with you always," still apply to you? What happens with doubt? This happens all the time. Just when you find that perfect passage to make a point, the Word of God surprises and throws you for a loop. Today, I assumed I would say to you, "You know what to do. Carry on the work of Jesus in this place." But I realize it's more complex than that. First, we need to address the subject of your doubts. Your doubts. I'm not really sure what doubts the disciples had. Did they doubt that Jesus really died? Did they doubt that Jesus was who he said he was, God's son? I would imagine that they had all kinds of doubts. But it was unsettling. It was an unsettling time. But I do not believe that their doubts excluded them from carrying on the work that Jesus was commissioning them to do. Doubt or no doubt, carry on. I believe that even the ones most powerfully used for Christ's work have their doubts. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus is often found saying, "Oh, you of little faith." He says that so often. There's a story of Peter. You know it well. Peter walked on water to Jesus. But when Peter noticed the wind and he began to be afraid, he began to sink. Then Jesus extended his hand to Peter and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But Peter's doubts did not exclude him from the work at hand. We know the story of Peter. The Great Commission was given to the worshiping and the doubting. The mission to which we are called is not jeopardized by our weakness or limited by our uncertainties. Faith isn't certainty. Faith isn't one size fits all. Faith is trust. And that trust grows. Some faith is teeny tiny, like a mustard seed, but it's alive and it grows. We sometimes fear that God will not or cannot sustain us through the coming years. I know many of you have had doubts about the future of this place, but I say to you today, trust the promises of the one who said, "I am with you always." Now go, preach, teach, baptize, obey, remember me. There's an image of faith I'd like to leave with you. It's the photo that's inserted in today's bulletin. This is our granddaughter, Skye, in her pink cowboy boots. Her fleece cap is pulled down almost to her lips. She cannot see her way ahead, yet she walks joyfully. Her mommy has her securely by the hand. When Peter was sinking, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Those on the boat that day worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There are some of you today here who have great faith. Faith that God has a future here at Buffalo Heart. And with your great faith, when the winds blow and the storms rage, you will remember, do not be afraid, because your anchor will hold you tight. But there are some of you who have your doubts. I have overheard some terrible things from some of you in the last few days. Things like, "Well, it's downhill from here on out." If you could shake faith into people, I would give it a try, but I really don't think it works this way. Hear today the words of Jesus. "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" So I intended to preach to you on the Great Commission and emphasize to you the need to carry on the work of this place, keeping these doors open and making sure that there's preaching going on and teaching going on and baptizing going on, and that you're obedient and that you remember always that Christ is with you. But instead, I studied the scripture, and I felt the need instead to emphasize, do not be afraid. Walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in the Son of God, who has you by the hand. Amen. Hymn number 305.
Freedom give.
thou show the Spirit's pity, we shall of his mercy tell in all lands and with all races we shall serve and seek to bring all the world to render praises Christ to thee, Redeemer King.
Let us pray. Gracious God, through Jesus Christ, you promise to hear us when we pray to you in his name. Confident in your love and mercy, we offer our prayers. Give power to your church in this place, O Lord, and around the world as we teach, baptize, and remember your presence. We ask for your protection for those who gather in sacred places. And today, O God, comfort those grieving today in Sri Lanka and California. Guide those who govern locally, nationally, and globally. Help them to set aside fear and greed and vain ambition, and instead to strive for truth and peace and justice for all your children. Hear today, O God, those who cry out in suffering and hunger, and help us to reorder our lives to offer to others what they need to live with hope. Today, O God, watch over the sick, give hope to the dying, comfort those who mourn, uphold all who suffer in body and mind. Give to us, O Lord, a love of this earth that we might be good caretakers. Strengthen this congregation in its work and worship. Fill our hearts with your love that we might sing your praise and conform our lives to the image of your Son. Nourish us with your word and sacraments that we might fulfill the Great Commission. O God, in your loving way, hear our prayers. Give us the will to seek to bring them about for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now together let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Redeemed, oh, the bliss of this glory.
Thank you, Elizabeth and Bud. That means a lot to me. I first came to Buffalo Heart Presbyterian in, I believe it was May of 1993, as pulpit supply. You did not have a pastor at the time. It just so happened it was the Sunday that the State Journal Register was doing a large feature story about this church. So consequently, on my first Sunday here, I was photographed at the pulpit. That article is framed, and it's hanging in the back fellowship room. Little did any of us know that I'd end up staying for 26 years. But now, after prayer and careful consideration, it now seems that I should retire. I publicly state that my time as pastor of this church ends this week.
Friends, we now come closer to that time of formally recognizing the end of Pastor Mary Jessup's pastorate here. We recognize the incredibly deep bonds and depths of love and relationship that can happen together in Jesus Christ, but also how our church family is constantly changing. We acknowledge that even though after this Sunday she is leaving, her influence is not, and it is good and right to formally mark this time with prayer and celebration. So I'm going to ask Mary if you could please rise and join me here, and if you, where you are, as you are comfortable, if you could please rise in body or in spirit, and I will ask you together to affirm some questions. Do you, the members and friends of Buffalo Heart Presbyterian Church, release Pastor Mary from the duties of pastor? If so, please say, we do, with God's help.
We do, with God's help.
Do you, the members and friends of Buffalo Heart Presbyterian Church, trust in the Lord your God to lead you into a new era of church leadership? If so, please say, we do, with God's help.
We do, with God's help.
And do you, Pastor Mary, release Buffalo Heart Presbyterian Church from turning to you and depending on you? If so, please say, I do, with God's help.
I do, with God's help.
Do you offer your encouragement for the continued ministry here at Buffalo Heart Presbyterian Church? If so, please say, I do, with God's help.
I do, with God's help.
Thank you. Please be seated.
I'm going to ask Bud, if he would come and join me. Thank you. So what will I miss? I will miss preaching. I would not have anticipated saying that when I first started in ministry in 1978. But a rhythm has developed over the years. I live all week with one scripture. I study it, I research it, I prayerfully meditate its words. Then at the very, very last minute, I write a sermon. And I preach it while the ink is still wet, and I mean that literally. The reading, the writing, the delivery has made for a spiritually enriching way to live, and I highly recommend it. I will miss this place. I have grown to love this part of the country, its history, which we have explored together, its geography. I love the wooded sections, the high places, the lay of the land. It's beautiful here, and I feel close to God, the Creator, out here at Buffalo Heart. I will miss you, and I will miss your families from near and far. I've gotten to know them, and I have enjoyed meeting your Colorado relatives and your California cousins. Instead of staying home with them when they visit you, you have brought them here to church. That amazes me, and I love it because it's been a treat for me. It's been a treat for us that you have shared your loved ones. I have loved your children, and I've experienced the joy of watching so many of them grow. It has been this pastor's privilege to marry so many of you, and a privilege as well to bury your loved ones. I will not miss your pets. That makes me feel like a bad person, but I have endured their barking, their drooling, their rubbing, and I confess to you that I have been bitten 3 times in these 26 years. I will not miss moderating meetings. Rules of order, for whatever reason, remain elusive to me. But thankfully, Ann Hughes was always there, and I think the two of us have worked well as a yin and yang, and I thank her. I am looking forward to guilt-free Saturday night outings. Since the age of 27, going out on Saturday nights has been problematic. Since I am such a terrible procrastinator, I always needed to get home and work on that sermon. So now, at the age of 68, and now 70, Bud and I can go out partying on Saturday nights. As long as we get to bed by 9:30. That's true. Yeah. My biggest regret is that I did not ask more of you. And I mean that sincerely. I enjoy the work of the church so much that I realized that I did far too much of the work myself. You were always telling me that. I should have shared more the responsibilities. But now I'm leaving, and it's your chance to step up and serve. My hope for you is that you will be kind and loving to your new pastor, as you have been to me. Please understand that it is to your new pastor that you will now turn in those tender times when you so desperately need your church. I will not be coming back to do weddings, funerals, or baptisms. My presence would only hinder your bonding with your new pastor. But no, I love you dearly. And may God bless and keep you always.
The Sunday after Easter is traditionally low Sunday, and Mary is trying to think of what could we do to boost attendance. Well, it worked. I wanted to just take a minute to thank you all for being good to us. In the old days, the pastor's spouse was expected to play the piano and teach Sunday school. and I didn't do that. I didn't do much. But every time I showed up here, you welcomed me. And over the years, I got to be friends with many of you just from walking together in Cop Walks and being here on Christmas Eve and showing up at bonfires and you've been very good to me, so thank you. But mostly, you've been good to her. Mary has had a real joy in being part of your lives, and this has given her not only happiness, but a purpose and real deep joy. So somewhere in Scripture, does it say, happy wife, happy life? Jesus should have said it at the beginning. Thank you all for giving us a happy life.
Thank you. John, yeah, if you could come forward. Okay.
And as clerk of session and representing the congregation, I don't want to call it two parting gifts, but being here, but I do know that, let me see which one here. I know when I took over as clerk of session, Ann Hughes told me you have worn out several Bibles in the past 26 years. And as appreciation, here is a new Bible that you can use in your retirement.
Thank you. And I have, you see my Bible here. That's lovely. Thank you.
And then as another gift here, we have, some bookends.
Oh,
you're always collecting bookends.
Yeah, I do. Oh, how lovely. Thank you. Oh, that's beautiful. You're in the hand of God, okay?
Yes.
Oh, how lovely. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you, John.
Thank you for all you've done for the congregation and... Best wishes and Godspeed.
Thank you.
John, I have a gift for the congregation. Oh. This wasn't in the script, but I've noticed over the years that part of the qualities of good pastors is being able to keep small problems from becoming big problems. And you all probably didn't know this, but whenever anybody might drop the ball out here, well, Mary would pick it up, you know. If she found that somebody didn't sign up for refreshments, well, she'd get the oven going and make cookies. And then sometimes if there was even a whiff, somebody had a little disagreement with something, well, she'd get on the phone, and she always patience when she's on the phone. And then she'd get on the phone to somebody else. By the time she was done, she'd have her 10,000 steps in for the day. So that's what a pastor does, is keep small problems from becoming big problems. So, John, I think you're going to need this in Mary's absence.
Whoops. Okay, let's see what it is.
It's not Kentucky bourbon.
Life's never dull. Yeah. There's a prayer printed in the bulletin that I would ask you, if you would, at this point, to stand with me as we sing. This is a prayer for you and for me. Let us pray. O God, you have bound us together for a time as pastor and people to work for the advancement of your kingdom in this place. We give you thanks for the ministry which we have shared in these years now past.
We thank you for your patience with us despite our blindness and slowness of heart. We thank you for your forgiveness and mercy in the face of our many failures. Especially, we thank you for your never-failing presence with us through these years, and for the deeper knowledge of you and of each other which we have attained. We thank you for those who have joined this part of Christ through baptism. We thank you for opening our hearts and minds again and again to your word and for feeding us abundantly with the sacrament of the body and blood of your Son. Now we pray, be with the one who leaves and with those who stay, and grant that all of us, by drawing near to you, may always be close to each other in the communion of saints. All this we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing for the closing hymn, 271.
Promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises sing. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, promises of God, standing on the promises of God, fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God.
Fourth verse.
Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God.
Be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous and strong, let all that you do be done in love, and may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Amen. Would you...